Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and it's a joy to be with you today. Debbie and I had the privilege of welcoming last night about 10 o'clock, welcoming our middle daughter Amy and her husband Travis and their three little boys to the house. Jack is 4, Chase is 2, and Drew is 5 months. And we are giving Amy and Travis a break. They're going to take a little mini vacation, just the two of them, to Broken Bow, Oklahoma, a really cool place to go. And Debbie and I are going to be flying solo. My youngest daughter, Sarah, is coming from Little Rock on Friday night to help us. But, man, it's all hands on deck when you have three little boys that are just into everything. Obviously, Drew at 5 months isn't into everything, but he's a handful all by himself. But Jack and Chase are into lots of things. And so it's going to be a challenge for sure, but a wonderful challenge. We are looking forward to it. Debbie said, "Now, Jeff, you know you got to help me." And I said, "Debbie, I want to help you, but you got to remember, I have this little thing called a job." And so she had to remind her of that. She's got a job too. And so she can multitask maybe better than yours truly can. Okay, so I have for this morning a question. And here is the question. Are you a snowflake? Are you a snowflake? No doubt you've heard the term snowflake. I asked Grok this morning, what does it mean to be a snowflake? When did that term come about, and what are some examples of it? So this is the answer from Grok, which is X's AI. He said this, the term snowflake is a slang insult, and it refers to someone perceived as overly sensitive, fragile, or easily offended, often implying they demand special treatment or can't handle criticism. It suggests uniqueness, like a snowflake's distinct pattern, but in a derogatory way, framing the person as weak or entitled. It's a good term, snowflake, and we've seen such examples of it. Now, when did people on the right start calling people on the left? It's typically the people on the right that say that to the people on the left. When did they start using that? It says the term's modern slang usage emerged prominently in the 2010s, particularly in political and cultural discourse. It was popularized in the United States during debates around political correctness, safe spaces, and identity politics. The term gained traction after the 2016 publication of The Coddling of the American Mind by Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt, which critiqued perceived oversensitivity on college campuses. The term was used to describe students who seemed unable to cope with differing opinions or discomfort. Now, I think it's a good term. Now, that term never needs to be applied to a Christian. Christians, God is not building snowflake Christians. Says in Isaiah 61, what is the goal of our seeking the Lord and walking with Him and obeying His commandments? It's, "You shall be holy, for I am holy," the Lord says. It's to make us like Him, to draw us close to Him, and so that we would be oaks of righteousness, as it says in Isaiah 61, verse 3, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, so that we go out in the world and we're as lights in the world, and we're strong and we're tough. As Paul told Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." A good soldier doesn't flee in the face of battle. You remember the motto of the French Foreign Legion? I'm going off of memory here, so I may get this a little wrong in terms of the order. But this was the motto. I don't know if it's the motto anymore. It used to be the motto of the French Foreign Legion. If I stumble, push me on. If I falter, keep me up. If I retreat, shoot me. There is no retreat in the Christian life. There's no room for a snowflake in the Christian life. life. Now, this idea of snowflakes, especially with college students, there were three universities in among many others, but these three were pointed out by Grok: Brown University, University of Michigan, and Oberlin College. They had safe spaces for their students after the Trump victory in 2016 because they knew they would be traumatized because their candidate didn't win. And they had in these safe spaces coloring books, bubbles, therapy dogs, Play-Doh, cookies. I mean, you talk about a snowflake. I mean, it might be a derogatory term, but it's a term that adequately and aptly describes what many of those students are today. I mean, it's a good night. So your candidate lost. You know, I wasn't excited when Barack Obama won. I wasn't excited when Joe Biden won. Those were days to grieve because I knew where they would take the country. But even in those situations, Christians didn't want America to fail. You know, on the political scene, whether it's president or governor or whatever, you don't want, even if the other side from your political persuasion, if the other side gets in there, will you pray for them? We're commanded to do that in Scripture. Pray for our leaders. You pray for them and pray that righteousness would prevail. And for sure, you don't want your city or your state or your county or the nation to fail. That affects everyone. And sadly, that's what we've seen in America. Even those on the left have talked about that. Bill Maher, the big liberal, he talks about that. Do you really want the country to fail? Hopefully not. But if you hate somebody so much that you're triggered and have to go to a safe space when their name is even mentioned, something is seriously wrong. Are you a snowflake? Now, one of my favorite, all-time favorite movie characters is Rocky Balboa. And everybody in my church knows I'm a huge Rocky Balboa fan. It is sad. You know, Rocky came out in the late 70s. It's been around a long time. And we have a generation of people now who don't really know the Rocky character. And it's a sad deal. I think parents, dads, you need to introduce your kids, especially your sons, to Rocky Balboa because he is such a champion of the underdog. But in the sixth installment of the Rocky series, the movie was called Rocky Balboa. It came out in 2006. I'll always remember that because I got to interview Sly Stallone when he came to Dallas, and we had a showing, a private screening for some pastors, and I was kind of tapped to be the go-between when Rocky came in for a Q&A session, and so I kind of led in that, and then I got to ask Stallone, I said, do you mind if we pray for you? And so I have a picture in my office of me with my arm around Sylvester Stallone praying for him. He was very gracious, very kind. You know, this idea that he is, he's short. I have to say that when I met him, I was a little starstruck because I've watched this guy for so many years on the big screen that I didn't really recognize. He seemed like he's about my size. I'm about 5'10 and a half. He seemed like he's about my size. I don't know if he wore lifts or what. But it was just a great moment to meet him and then to get to hear from him as we had probably about a 15 or 20 minute Q&A. But this is his famous soliloquy in Rocky Balboa when he's talking to his son who is playing the victim and going nowhere in his life, always blaming other people. No doubt you've heard this, but it bears listening again.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
That was Rocky talking to his son. He said cowards do that, blame other people. Cowards go to their safe spaces. Christians are to be oaks of righteousness. We're to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. We're to stand up for Jesus, as the song says, ye soldiers of the cross. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Hey, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And on the battlefield, you can't be a snowflake. You have to be tough. You have to be strong. You have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You have to fix your eyes on the Lord, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you may have heard about the American Eagle ad with actress Sydney Sweeney. She's a pretty blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And they did an ad, and she was talking about her jeans, G-E-N-E-S, and then she changed it to jeans, J-E-A-N-S. And the snowflakes, those on the left who are just always victimized and always see the bad in everything, say, oh, this is racist. This is a Nazi dog whistle. They're catering to the alt-right, and this is just horrible, and they're all up in arms over it. And I saw one YouTuber or somebody, some influencer, a black lady, that she walked by American Eagle store, and she goes, I can't go in that store because I'm black. All from an ad where a pretty white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes talks about jeans. It's just ridiculous. I don't understand why people, they seem to revel in their victimhood. They're just always, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. As Rocky said, you can't, that's what cowards do. Winning is standing up and saying, okay, I've had some bad things happen to me, and I've had some disadvantages in my life. But what am I going to do? Am I going to go to my safe space and pull out the coloring book and the bubbles and the Play-Doh? No. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to believe that those three truths that are so critical for every believer to have etched in his heart, in her heart, God is good. God loves me. And God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so when I have those three things down in my heart, I can handle anything that comes my way, any disaster that comes my way. And disasters do come. Life changes on a dime. We had a dear couple in our church. I just got news yesterday late afternoon that they were on vacation, and the husband passed away. Young guy, in his 40s. And I don't know the details. And we've reached out, but I haven't heard back. And don't know the details. But you talk about shattering a wife and a child. They have a child together. And just shattering that family. Life changes on a dime. And as the old saying goes, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And who holds the future is the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds the future of every Christian. And he promises, John 10, that we're in his hand and he'll never let us go. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We're talking about snowflakes. Are you a snowflake? I hope not. We'll be right back.
Wherever the gospel goes, lives are changed. Lives like Sonia's. When Sonia came to a Tomorrow Club, she had little reason to hope for a better future.
As Armenian refugees living in a remote community in the Republic of Georgia, life was desperately hard for Sonia and her family. The recent death of her baby brother had made things even worse, and her mother had fallen into a deep depression. At the club, Sonia heard the gospel and her faith began to grow as she attended weekly club meetings. Soon, a small church grew out of the Tomorrow Club, and Sonia prayed her mother would come to the church. Sonia's prayers were answered. Her mother came, surrendered her life to Christ, recovered from her depression, was baptized, and now leads the Tomorrow Club where her daughter found Christ.
Partnering with local churches, Tomorrow Clubs help kids and teens in forsaken places learn to follow Jesus through long-term discipleship. To learn more about how Tomorrow Clubs are reaching young hearts and minds for Christ, visit tomorrowclubs.org. That's tomorrowclubs.org. All gifts are tax deductible. We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Hi, this is Phil Johnson. As you've probably heard, John MacArthur went to heaven 2 weeks ago, and as we reflect on John's legacy as Grace to Use Bible teacher for over five decades, we're focusing this week on the hallmark themes of his teaching ministry. So be here as John considers life's most important question, who do you say Christ is? That's today on Grace to You.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
We can be assured that God is going to move forward in His path, His purposes, His will. It's going to come about. He will come on us like rain, and rain, biblically, is synonymous with a blessing in the latter and former rains to the earth. It's interesting, but the latter and former rains are those rains that soften up the soil and those things that also at the end, the crops need that last bit of moisture in order to thrive and produce their abundance at the end, their greatest yield. And God's promising here that He'll provide everything so there'll be a blessing.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about this issue being a snowflake. And here's the question, are you a snowflake? Now, you might get offended that I even asked the question. Hopefully, that's not the case, that you're a snowflake. But what is a snowflake? Well, it's a derogatory slur, according to AI, to describe people perceived as overly sensitive or easily offended, typically by those on the political right targeting those on the left. Now, when I asked AI to give me some examples of snowflakes melting down, this shows you the bias of AI. It's sickening. I call out AI all the time and say, I feel like I'm talking to Rachel Maddow. You ought to get a job at CNN. And AI doesn't really like that. Oh, no, I'm totally impartial. But when I asked for examples of snowflake meltdowns, they said, well, you have the American Eagle ad, and so they said, you know, liberals are all up in arms about that because Sydney Sweeney, you know, is blonde hair and blue-eyed, and she is excited about her jeans, G-E-N-E-S, when they were just making a play on words with J-E-A-N-S. But then they said, well, another example of a snowflake meltdown, the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney backlash. And it says that, you know, conservatives were melting down over the fact that Bud Light had this this man dressed up like a woman. They call her a trans influencer, Dylan Mulvaney. It's a sick pup of a guy who dresses up like a woman and thinks he's a woman. And that was an example of those on the right, conservatives melting down. They also had conservatives melting down over Target when they had their Pride merchandise on display in the summer, and all the Pride clothing and the big, you know, big Pride Month display at Target. And it's like, you know, hey, Grok, you can't tell the difference between righteous indignation and meltdown. You know, I still have that picture in my mind when Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump in 2016, the famous picture of that woman. I think she was sitting Indian style on her on the concrete there, just screaming at the top of her lungs. You know, it's like, what is wrong with you? Now, I never see a conservative doing that. I definitely never see a Christian doing that, that would say, oh, I'm so traumatized, I need to go to my safe space. Well, what's the matter? Did some trauma hit your life? Did you lose a loved one? You just heard at the top of the hour that that couple that encountered that guy at the state park, and he killed them as they were protecting their two children. And the husband and wife were killed. Well, I could see where the 9-year-old and 7-year-old would need trauma counseling, because that was a real trauma. But these people that need to go to their safe space, it's all because their candidate lost. And, you know, Donald Trump won. And give me a break. That's just ridiculous. But that's what AI says. Well, you know, you have these situations where people on the right are snowflakes. They can't handle things. Well, that's just showing the liberal, in my view, showing the liberal bias of Grok. You know, we go on college campuses, we meaning conservatives, Charlie Kirk and others, go on college campuses and they get shouted down because the left can't stand to hear, and I'm not talking about every single person on the left, but in general, the left can't stand to hear the opposing viewpoint. They just want one viewpoint. Now, with Donald Trump in office and the things that he's doing to, you know, take DEI down and eradicate it from the United States, and say right off the bat, day one of his presidency, there are only two genders and we're not going to have biological males playing in female sports, and you know, these common sense things that he's just taken a stand on, that have been wonderful, and the universities are having to knuckle under. The schools are having to knuckle under because he's putting pressure on them to the point where they say, okay, we have to do what you say. Now, here is Scott Jennings from CNN. He was talking about Trump, and he's talking about how these 80-20 situations where Trump is giving common sense, and the Democrats, they're always obviously going to go up against Trump, whatever he says. If he says oxygen is good to breathe, they're going to be against it. But that puts him at a great disadvantage. So here was Scott Jennings talking about this.
Democrats, because of the Biden presidency, because they lied about Joe Biden's condition, because they lied to the country about the inflationary impacts of his policies, have dug themselves the deepest hole they've ever been in the history of their party. That's number one. Number two, cultural radicalism. I mean, when the hills you're willing to die on are boys and girls sports, paying for transgender surgeries of inmates, which Kamala Harris had in the last election, when you're willing to die on these hills, when you're willing to go and say Maryland man unfairly deported back to his home country, I mean, when you're willing to die on all these 80-20 hills, eventually your approval rating will wind up, I'm no mathematician, but around 20.
Yeah, exactly.
They're getting there. And so this hole they've dug themselves in, like, if I can't trust you not to put a boy in my daughter's locker room, why would I talk to you about taxation policy or inflation or tariffs or anything else? You're trying to put a boy in my girl's locker room.
That's right.
Why?
Well, that was Scott Jennings just saying, you know, if you take the 20% side on all these issues, and Trump is the master of backing those people into a a corner because they hate him so much that, okay, now you're supporting all the things that 80% of Americans don't support. They're not for that. And I've been hearing on different news programs people talking about, oh, what do we need to do in the Democrat Party to get the men back, you know, in the fold? And well, if you're going to go with the issues, you're going to take a stand on these issues that they're standing on. Well, you're going to lose because those issues are ludicrous. They're not what people want. Because they're not rooted in reality, and they're not rooted in common sense, and they're not rooted in anything that's going to better the country. Now, Donald Trump, he is a lightning rod. He doesn't let the grass grow under his feet. People want to ding him for things like, oh, he plays too much golf. He's just such a lazy guy. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Bishop Jackson was on the program yesterday, and he says, well, Donald Trump sleeps like 4 or 5 hours a night. I mean, he's relentless. And golf is his outlet. He loves to play golf. And for anybody that's listening, you know that you can get bitten by the golf bug, and golf is a game that you just keep wanting to play. It becomes such a passion, and I've been bitten by the golf bug, but I don't have the golf gene in that I'm not very good at golf, but I love to play golf, and so I don't begrudge him that at all. He gets more done on the golf course than Joe Biden got done in a year of his presidency. And so Donald Trump is just, he's just relentless, but people hate him. And the things that he does, all these tariffs, you know, even those on that are supportive of him, it was like, I don't know if that's going to work. And well, the tariffs have been working. And Trump has, he just returned from Scotland. It was a very successful trip to Scotland. And even a critic like Bill Maher, now Bill Maher, you remember he had dinner at the White House with Donald Trump. Kid Rock set that up. And Bill Maher had great things to say about Trump as a person. And he still can't stand Trump as a political figure, but he said Trump was very nice and pleasant to be around. Well, this is Bill Maher owning up to the fact that the Trump presidency so far, especially as it relates to the tariffs, have been good and successful. This is what he had to say.
I remember I, along with probably most people, were saying at the beginning, oh, you know, by the 4th of July, somebody had to think how the country was, the economy was going to be tanked by then. And I was kind of like, well, that seems right to me. But that didn't happen. Now, it could happen tomorrow. I'm just saying, yeah. That's reality. So let's work first from the reality totally. Of that. Not from, I just hate Donald Trump. Because yeah. That's boring and doesn't get us anywhere and leads you to dishonesty. Because the truth is, I don't know what his strategy is. But look, the stock market is at record highs. I know not everybody lives by the stock market, but I also drive around. I don't see a country in a depression at all. I see people out there just living their lives. And I would have thought, and I got to own it, that these tariffs were going to sink this economy by this time, and they didn't. So, you know, how do we deal with that fact? Because that's the fact.
Well, that was Bill Maher. I appreciate the fact that he owns it. There was another article that anti-Trump New York Times columnist admits that the president is much more successful than expected. And this man named Brett Stevens, he had this quote. He said, "Egads, after a disastrous first 100 days, from his opinion, I guess, Donald Trump is starting to have a much more successful presidency. This is not what we, his foam-at-the-mouth critics, had planned or perhaps secretly hoped for." Now, it's sad when you're hoping that the president is going to fail, when you're hoping that the country goes down, when you're hoping that the economy crashes because you hate the guy so much. As I said, when Obama was president, I remember when he got elected In 2008, I stood up before the church and I said, we need to be praying for him. We want him to succeed. I remember hearing Rush Limbaugh. He said, we want him to succeed because if he succeeds in his presidency, the country will do well. Now, what does it look like to succeed? Well, it's to improve the lives of Americans. It's to strengthen the country, to strengthen the infrastructure, strengthen our influence in the world, strengthen our military power so that we can defend ourselves, make the streets safer, and make opportunities better for people. Well, he didn't do that. I agree with Bishop Jackson and others. Barack Obama, now I think it was Daryl Harrison that said this, Barack Obama can't be a traitor. It was Daryl that said this, and Daryl's black. And he said he can't be a traitor because a traitor is someone who was on your team and now is working against the team. He said Barack was never on the team. Barack has always hated America. He became president lying about, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm for America. He took the oath and all that. But he wanted to dismantle America. He wanted to make America like France and just an also-ran. And so he said, in from his perspective, his opinion, he's not a traitor. He's not committing treason because he was never part of the team. So you can take that for what you will. But here is the truth. You know, those of us who love the Lord and love the land in which we live, regardless of who's in power, we want to pray for them. And we want success for them. You know, as the Lord told the exiles in Babylon, this bears repeating in as the Lord talks about, you know, we know that verse in Jeremiah chapter, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Well, that is a great verse, but before that, the Lord tells the exiles in Babylon, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, here's what you need to do. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. That's what we as Christians do in America. It's okay to love this land of liberty. And it's good and right and fine to stand up and speak up for America. We have a country like no one has ever, like has never been before. And the freedoms that we enjoy in America, we need to stand up and fight for those because we want to be able to pass those on to our children and to our grandchildren. Are you a snowflake? Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A good soldier is not a snowflake. A good soldier is strong and courageous. You know who was a good soldier in the scripture? Joshua. And the Lord said to him, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, we're going to open the phone lines right after the break, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to hear from you. It's always a joy to receive calls and hear from listeners. And so we want to talk about that question about being a snowflake and what can we do as believers to be tough in the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Psalm 144, verse 1. We want to be tough-minded. We want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We want to know that He does love us. He is good and He works all things together for good. We're not victims of anything. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us, Romans 8, 37. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, Katie Faust, host of Them Before Us, explains the global children's rights movement and why believers need to be a part of it.
What is threatening children today? Reproductive technologies and the redefinition of the family, and the butchering of children through abortion. Church, this is your heritage, and you have got to understand that child protection is a non-negotiable aspect of your faith.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
In a recent survey of 1,200 left-of-center American adults, 55% responded that assassinating Donald Trump could be justified. We're swimming in shark-infested cultural waters. Some are suffering from Christianophobia. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Please give today to help AFA keep equipping you and others to stand for Christ. Help us shine his light into our dark culture. Visit afa.net/warrior.
Culture really doesn't like to line up with God's Word. In our age of instant information and misinformation, where do you find the truth about the gender confusion being spread by the world?
The truth is ours to discover if we'll just open the Word of God and seek Him.
You can go from Ephesians 5 to Ephesians 6 in the instruction for fathers to instruct their children. There it's noteworthy that explicitly the fathers are given a role in instructing the children.
I think modern day women are taught, when we think of submission in terms of quiet, never saying anything and being an obedient robot, that's not what Scripture teaches. It doesn't mean a blind acquiescence.
In His Image is a life-changing documentary that answers those controversial questions from the only source for real truth, the Bible. See In His Image for the first time or watch it again, and invite your family and friends to watch as well. Visit resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Hi, my name's Neil. I have some advice for you if you've been trying to break free from credit card debt. You can start by doing what I did. Get your bills together and call Trinity Debt Management. Trinity is dedicated to helping people like me become debt-free. When I called, my first experience was a feeling of relief. My counselor was kind, and best of all, she didn't judge me. In just a few minutes, she helped me figure out a plan that consolidated all my bills into one lower monthly payment. This substantially reduced my high interest rates and put me on the road to success. In the end, I saved thousands in interest, and today, my credit card debt is a thing of the past.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Neil. Take it from someone who's been there. Call Trinity and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the issue of snowflakes. Are you a snowflake? You say, what is a snowflake? Well, a snowflake is used to describe a person perceived as overly sensitive or easily offended. It's typically used by those on the political right targeting those on the left. The huge example of snowflakes were college kids at different universities. I had mentioned three, Brown University, University of Michigan, and Oberlin College, where the campus had their safe spaces for students to go, and they could color. There were bubbles there, therapy dogs, Play-Doh, cookies. I mean, it's just like, are you in kindergarten? What is the deal? Can you not handle life? Are you a snowflake? Hopefully not. Now, there's a difference between being righteously indignant and being somebody who's so easily hurt and easily offended that you just can't cope with life, that you just sit Indian style and scream at the sky, as we saw that one woman who is a pro-Hillary Clinton advocate. When she lost, she just could not deal with it. And so I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have an opposing view. Give me a call, 888-589-8840. And we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
one of the things that you need to remember when you're dealing with these people is that they're kind of acting out really a form of Satanism, really. And there's a couple things that tends to go after is power, for one, and for two, they're always creating a dark image of God's reality and God's righteousness and inverting things over to it. It's like you're throwing it through a mirror. And in doing so, they're gonna always be moving toward acquiring more power with that. And if you look over to what was the name of the book that Hillary Clinton did her master's thesis on?
The Saul Alinsky book.
Saul Alinsky. And so they'll try and hold us to our playbook where, say, if somebody's hurt, we try and show them empathy and act out toward them in a kind way. And they'll try and weaponize that empathy of ours to steal power from us. And we gladly give it over to them because they're hurt and they're and we have to figure out some kind of way of navigating this. And it's not necessarily the easiest thing to come to grips with mentally. Just throwing it out there as a consideration.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, that was the Saul Alinsky book was Rules for Radicals. You know, it's the dedication page has a dedication to Lucifer. Some say, well, he's not dedicating it to Lucifer, but he says he's getting a hat tip, obviously, to Lucifer, who was the original rebel and radical as Lucifer tried to overthrow God. Rules for Radical, Saul Alinsky. Yes, that's Hillary Clinton liked that book. Barack Obama liked that book. And it just, you know, it gives you a playbook on how to destroy a government, especially a government like ours. It's a sick, twisted book. But I appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for listening to the program. We have Mary on the line from Indiana. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, I like your real truth. I am a person who likes words. I study them all the time. I love words. So instead of using a word that covers up the real truth, like snowflake, and I'm glad you described what that meant, because I wouldn't have known. Or if you would say narcissist, there again, there's a word that a lot of people don't understand. Just tell it like it is. Hopelessly selfish.
Yes. Yes. Well, because of critical race theory, because of the Marxist views, the oppressed and the oppressor, you know, you want to be in the oppressed class because the oppressed class gets all the attention. And if you're an oppressor, you're a Nazi, you're Hitler, you're terrible. And so if you can get yourself into that oppressed class, that's critical race theory. You know, so not just that I'm black, but I'm a black lesbian, and then I get more power because I'm more oppressed. And so they're just all, you know, into being a victim. And that's not biblical Christianity at all. We're not victims. We're victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. No matter what somebody does to us, we don't hate them. I think it was Booker T. Washington that said, no man can ever do anything to me that would cause me to hate him, because he had the love of Jesus in his heart. And, you know, everyone you meet, I tell people this often, listen, everyone you meet, no matter how difficult they may be for you in your flesh, the Lord who lives inside of you as a believer, he loves that person. And so you can love that person because the God who lives inside through the person of the Holy Spirit, he loves them. And so you just have to say, Lord, I don't like them, but you love them, so love them through me. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So That's a good point, Mary. You know, certain phrases and words, you know, they take on a personality in our country, and they become kind of the buzzword. And so snowflake has become one of those words. But you make a good point. You know, we need to be specific, and we need to take out the guesswork in that. Now, I'm all for that, especially with preaching. I hate the word nuance, where people are like, oh, you have to nuance this. You have to be very careful. I think you need to paint clear boundary markers for listeners. And the job of a preacher as a herald is to say, thus says the Lord, thus says the King. And a herald in olden times, he would tell the people what the king said. God forbid that he should change the message from the king. That's not his responsibility nor his authority to do that. He is just to tell the people what the king has said. And that's the job of every pastor, is to tell the people what the Lord has said. So anything else to add to that, Mary? All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in. We have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why I think corruption has gotten so bad in our politics. There was a time when the church used to influence the king, and now the king is influencing the church. I watched Barack Obama go into black churches, sing Amazing Grace, and everybody applaud, while in fact he was the one that opened up the gate for gays and lesbians to come out of the closet, and now we can't get them back in it. But I also watched President Trump say things about other people that when people hear it, they can't forget it. And he say cruel things about folks. Mm-hmm. And you can't have a leader doing that. But the problem is, we have too many leaders who, as the scripture says, that they think that the wrath of men can work righteousness, but it cannot, because whatever influences you, if you don't have Christ in your life, and we know that I've heard Donald Trump say that he was asked the question, have you ever asked Christ to forgive you? And he says, no. Because I don't have anything for him to forgive me of. Mm-hmm. I heard this with my own ears. Right. And I heard him say also that he thinks asking for forgiveness is a sign of weakness. And so they think like the world thinks.
Yeah, and I so think, let me just interrupt there. Bad. Yeah, Norman. I saw that interview with him too. I don't know how old that is. I think it's a good number of years old. I've talked to a friend of mine that knows Trump. He's a pastor. He's very credible. And I said, do you think Trump, because Trump is, you know, with him almost getting his head blown off, that changed him a lot. I said, do you think Trump is, as the scripture says, not far from the kingdom, or do you think he's really put his faith and trust in Jesus? And he said, no, I think he has really put his faith and trust in Jesus. Obviously, Trump likes Christians. If you watch, I've seen two different times where they are starting off a cabinet meeting with all his cabinet there, and Scott Turner, who's a member of Prestonwood Baptist Church, on staff there at Prestonwood Baptist Church, he's heading up the housing and urban development. Scott Turner is a bold, outspoken Christian. Well, he prays before the cabinet meeting, prays in Jesus' name. I mean, you can just feel the power as he's praying. This is a guy who knows the Lord. He doesn't know about him. He knows him, and he's calling on his Father as he's praying. So I think that although I agree with you, Trump shouldn't say some of the things that he does when he calls people out like that. I don't know why he wants to do that, but he does do it. And, you know, we just say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. He does do a lot of things right. So with Trump, you get the good and the bad. We need to be praying for him for sure, because, you know, we can't see into somebody's heart. But if my pastor friend is correct and Trump has put his faith and trust in Jesus, we need to pray that he would continue to grow, continue to get wise counsel from stronger believers, and that God would bless and bring him to a place of maturity where he would not be so caustic with people that that he disagrees with. But I appreciate the call and the comment, Norman, and God bless you, my brother, for doing that. We have Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I just throw this by you. I really think the culture in which I grew up in, I was born in 47, all the way till now, I think we are very much guilty of raising snowflakes, because we don't allow our children to encounter adversity and mm-hmm. difficulty, want to shield them, just make everything go peachy keen and easy. And mm-hmm. I think we're seeing really the ramification of this with this present generation. And I must admit, in my own heart, I have my own snowflake issues. And it's because I really, you know, I've really been sheltered in this culture, Pastor Jeff, and I think you need to encounter difficulty and adversity to know how to deal with it when it comes your way. And I'll let you comment on
that,
Pastor.
Obi, that's a great point. So last night I preached on Hebrews 12, and I called it called the sermon "Faithful Wounds." You know, the Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." And we were talking about how God uses discipline in the life of a Christian, and whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. And so God runs us through the gauntlet and through the obstacle course, so to speak, of difficulties and hardships. Why? Because He hates us? No, because He loves us, because He is trying to get us to be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, so that we would be tough and tender. What is a man to be? He's to be tough and tender. What's a Christian to be? Tough, to stand up for Jesus as a good soldier of the cross, but tender. Let all that you do be done in love. We need to have both those things. I remember Chuck Swindoll said it's incumbent upon a pastor to have two things, thick skin and a tender heart. Thick skin, so you don't take everything personally, and a tender heart. And I think that's good counsel for sure. So I appreciate the comment. We have one last call, Becky from Texas. Becky, we have about a minute, so go ahead.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, I just wanted to say that I think I'm a snowflake. Often in the way that I deal with things, like I'll read or I watch old movies or something that I like, because I get overcome with grief just listening to the news, like the, mm-hmm. the Kerrville floods and this right. couple that was killed and left two children. And, right. and if the Lord didn't help me deal with it, I would just be total basket case.
Well, I think, Becky, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that you have a tender heart toward people. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But when it comes to, you know, things outside, you know, political things especially, you have to take those with a grain of salt and just say, hey, you know what? God's in control. And if you listen to too much news, sometimes you can get a jaded perspective. But let me encourage you to be praying for that family, that those two kids that lost their mom and dad, and so many other issues. We have a God who hears us, a God who loves us, a God who cares, a God who can make the difference. So pray to the Lord and trust Him to work all things together for good. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.